Hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and again, you're in for another big treat today, the Take Two family. We have a fan favorite back with us, a friend of Take Two's, and you guys have been asking me for a long time, when are you going to have him back? Well, he's back today, and we're going to be taking your messages via the chats on social media, also from email, take2@ewtn.com, or I'm going to give you the texting way to get your questions in. But don't you kind of feel like sometimes, I'm asking the Take Two family now, don't you feel sometimes it's life can be so difficult? It can feel so hard. It can just be overwhelming at times. Well, our dear friend of Take Two's, he's written another book. I think it's going to be another bestseller. And it just came in the mail just 2 days ago at my home. Perfect timing. It's Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. That's right. It's by the author, Gary Zimak, and he's with us. So I'm going to jump right in, and we're going to start the discussion about how when life feels hard, why did he write this book, and what can we get from this book? I have the book right now. In fact, I'll show you the beautiful book right on the screen there. So this is for all the those on YouTube, Facebook, and the other social media streams. I love this book. It's perfect. It actually fits perfectly in my purse when I go traveling, and that's the key. In fact, all of Gary Zimak's books I put in my purse as I'm on the planes. And I will tell you that many people have stopped me and said, what are you reading? And I tell them. So I think maybe I should get a little part-time job there with Gary Zimak so I could be his field agent there. But let me just give you his proper introduction. Gary Zimak is a Catholic speaker and the best-selling author of several books, including Give Up Worry for Lent, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Give Up Worry for Good, Let Go of Your Fear, and When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. Yes, He is. And then this newest book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Gary, there's so much more I can share about Gary, but I want to jump right in with the discussion because we already are getting comments coming in. But Gary is a regular on Catholic Radio. Gary Zimak, welcome back to Take Two.
Debbie, thank you so much. I'm glad you didn't forget about me. I always love spending time with you.
Well, I'll tell you, the Take Two family, they never forget. When they like somebody, when they love somebody, they stay with them. They're very loyal. For 10 years, Gary, we've been going strong on Take Two, and the family is growing internationally. So we're very excited about it. Okay, Gary, why did you write this book? Usually, Gary, there's something going on in your life that you that you relate to, and then you put it into a 150-page book for us that we can bring with us on planes and we can travel with, and we get a lot out of. So why did you write Lord Save Me, for Prayers and Encouragement When Life Just Feels So Hard?
You know, Debbie, you nailed it. Actually, all of my books, this is my 14th book, and every one of those books, I've lived everything in those books. This book was written, okay, in the past year, my wife, Eileen, first suffered a convulsive seizure in June of 2024. She was totally unresponsive. By the way, she's doing fine now, but she was diagnosed with epilepsy. We didn't know she had it. It came in the middle of the night. So that started, I mean, that hit me out of the blue. I had speaking engagements lined up. You know, Eileen had this diagnosis of epilepsy and the seizure. A month later, Eileen was diagnosed with glaucoma and needed surgery. So that's on top of the epilepsy, right? And then she couldn't drive because of that. I had to drive her around. And obviously I'm thinking, you know, in addition to worrying about my wife, I've got to worry about earning a living. So I have this going on. Then I was under contract to write a book. We hadn't decided on the topic. Ave Maria Press and I had a book in the works. I've got all this going on. And then just a few months ago, Eileen suffered from a herniated disc. And this was actually the worst of any of them. It required two emergency room visits, a hospitalization, and she basically couldn't barely walk. So again, all of this is happening. I've got to write a book. And it came to me. You know what? I need help. Lord, I need you to be real. That's what this book is about. This book is written from the point of view of someone who believes in the Lord. I believe he's real, but sometimes our problems, and this is me speaking, sometimes my problems seem more real than the Lord. You know, this book is written It starts out with the story of St. Peter trying to walk on the sea. He's doing okay until he takes his eyes off Jesus, looks at the waves, freaks out, begins to sink. And at that moment, Peter needed Jesus to be real. Otherwise, he was going to drown, you know, and he said, "Lord, save me." So that's where this book comes from. The book got written. Thanks be to God. You know, Eileen's doing better now. Things worked out. But in the midst of it all, Debbie, I got to be honest with you, I felt hopeless. I felt overwhelmed. I felt all of these emotions I talk about in the book, afraid, you know, and it's okay to feel those things. And that's what my mission is about, hopelessness. I write a lot about worry, but everything in my ministry is focused on giving hope to the hopeless. Why? Because Jesus is real. He wants us to have hope.
Right.
And we have to understand we're not going to feel it sometimes. So I get all this stuff. I'm not lecturing people. I'm just saying, look, this is where I've been. This is how I feel. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think I can help you.
Yeah. So. Well, you always do. And I love how you bring your real life circumstances into your books, because you're speaking from the heart. You're speaking from experience and what you've been through and what you struggled with to help the rest of us. I really believe, Gary, I've always said this about you. That's true ministry work. When people do that. So thank you. And I'm sorry that Eileen went through all that. And I saw a lot of it on Facebook. We were all praying. Yeah. So she's doing better today.
She is doing much better. Thanks be to God. Everything is under control. She's getting around. All is well. And you know what? Her faith has grown from all this as well. You know, Debbie, what you said about my ministry, absolutely. You know, I want to be the real deal. I mean, I struggle at times. I feel that certain things appear hopeless. I get discouraged. I suffer from all that stuff.
Right.
But I never stop reaching out to the Lord, no matter how I feel. And he's always been there for me. And that's what I want people to know, that he is real. But you know, Debbie, you've been through stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We pray differently when things are going well. Lord, bless my family. Please make this a good day. Please bless my business.
Right.
But when we're got our back against the wall, we say, my wife could be dying. Yeah. I don't have any money to pay my bills. Help.
Yeah.
That's a whole different style of praying. That's why I wanted to write this book.
Absolutely. Well, I am so excited that I received this book. I hope all of our listeners get this book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, by bestselling author Gary Zimak. He's with us the entire hour. Send in your comments via the chats on social media. Rich will pick them up. Michael's at the controls. We're live today on Take Two, so stay with us. Glad our dear friend Gary Zimak came back to visit us and bring us a new book that we can add to our library. Gary, I might be missing When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. I think I'm missing that one. Is that similar to this one, or is it a little different, about suffering maybe?
Yeah, you know, it's similar. What I tried to do in that book is look at several what appear to be hopeless situations in the Bible and look at how God brought good out of them. Ooh. In the hopes that somebody who's struggling and saying, why is this happening? How can God bring good out of this? Somebody could look at that story and say, you know what? If he did it before, he can do it in my life as
right.
well.
Right.
You know, just if I could, Debbie, this book sure. was when, before we finalized the concrete nature, you know, how the book is going to look, Avi Maria came to me and they said, we'd like a book of prayers. We really like the way you pray. And I'm honored by that, because I always try to include little prayers in the book. So this book started out essentially as a prayer book. And there's a lot of personal prayers in here, but I added scripture passages and reflections to that as well. So this is an emphasis on prayer. And I think prayer, listening to other people pray, maybe somebody like me who knows what it's like to feel hopeless or discouraged, I think that can help somebody else to be in that situation and say, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to be scared. Here's the way this guy did it. And, you know,
right.
that's what I want to do. I want to let other people know it's okay to not feel anything or to be afraid. That's not what faith is. Faith is choosing to go on and turn to God, even when you don't feel anything, even when you are afraid. So
that's right. What the book's about. Have trust for God above the storms as much as you possibly can. That's why I love your Jesus, I Trust in You, your divine mercy image right behind you, Gary.
Yeah.
I know you live by that too. So do I. Real quickly, before we get back to the discussion, I'm curious, because I didn't realize that this particular book has the imprimatur. And so
yes.
So do all of your books have a a stamp of that it's within the teaching of the church?
I believe they all do. At one time, depending on different publishers, I've had five different publishers I've written for. Some of them felt, due to the nature of the book, they didn't need to get it, but I believe they all do.
Wow,
at this point. Sometimes
good.
They went back and got them.
So there's no error in the teaching. That's really good. And so that's important too, because sometimes when people write books like this, when they base it on their own experience, sometimes they can go out Absolutely. Of the boundaries, and you don't, you stay right within
the teaching
of the church. I love that. Okay. So before we get back to the discussion with Gary Zimak, let me just share with our listeners a couple ways you can reach us. We are live today. No phone calls today. We'll get the phones back. Don't worry, but we want to hear from you. So we're doing it with the social media chats and on email, take2@ewtn.com. You can also text us. I'll give you that information right now. And the best way to text us, it comes in very quickly. Michael and Rich grab it real fast. You can ask Gary a question about when life feels hard, you guys. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Gary Zimak. Just know that message and data rates may apply. I want to continue with Gary, though, because actually you guys sent in comments and questions actually from yesterday's show. We had Father Cedric Pazania on yesterday, and he was talking about suffering, and some of the fine folks from Take Two couldn't get all their questions in, and it actually kind of applies to this topic. So we're having the same theme all week. So I wanted to share those with you, Gary, and see if you can answer those for our listeners. But before we continue the discussion, learn how to pray with Saint Joseph. Our special free ebook will help guide you in prayer and find comfort in a collection of special prayers in honor of the spouse of the Blessed Virgin and the guardian of our Lord. Grow closer to Saint Joseph by visiting ewtn.com/Saint Joseph today. Guys, if there's free books, you got to get them. And these free ebooks are fantastic. Also, Gary, your book is published by Ave Maria Press. So I'm assuming that's where you can pick up the book. But also, some of your books, not all of your books, are on ewtnrc.com. So I would recommend our listeners, especially the Take Two family, because they're already starting to get their Christmas gifts ready. Gary, I'm just letting you know. Go to ewtnrc.com, pick up some of Gary's books, but then pick up his newest one from Ave Maria Press, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Okay, so you talked about, by the way, nice endorsement by Cy Kellett. That was nice.
Wasn't that great? Yeah, Cy has been so good to me. And you know, you've endorsed some of my books too. I'm grateful to you. And as has Father Cedric. You talked about Father Cedric. So
right,
I've been so
right.
blessed. I don't know how this happened, Debbie. How am I talking to you, Debbie Giorgiani? I used to listen to you guys on the radio. Now I'm one of you, I think.
Exactly. Well, and
God,
I'm not trying to brag, but I believe the one that I endorsed, Give Up Worry for Lent, was like your biggest, right?
That book has been such a blessing to me. So, Debbie, thank you. You've kept me in business. I appreciate it.
There you go. I love that book. I'm telling you that book is so worn out. I bring it everywhere. I just read it over and over and over again. I love it. Okay, so, Gary, couple things. Let's go back to, so you got the imprimatur on the book. That is amazing. The book is available. Ave Maria Press is the publisher. That's wonderful. You got great endorsements here. Now, what can we take away from this book? What do you want the readers to take away when they finish this almost 150-page book? What would you love for the dream for them to walk away with?
My dream, my ultimate goal, would be that Jesus would become a little bit more real to everybody who reads this book. And you know, when I go out and I give my parish missions, especially my Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions, I always make the point when I start, the reason we worry, the reason we let our fears go crazy is because our problems are more real to us than Jesus. I fall victim to this all the time. You know, if I'm St. Peter and I'm about to drown, I'd probably be scared. I'd probably say, you know, I'd probably doubt, like, can he really save me? Is he really real? Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't see Jesus. Peter could at least see him. But I think so many times our problems become more real to us than the Lord. I'll give you a case in point. I was at Daily Mass earlier today, and on the way over, Eileen and I and our daughter Mary were going to Mass, And the air conditioning wasn't working in the car all the way. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Here we go. It's going to be more expenses. What's going to happen? How bad of a problem is this? And, you know, it was distracting me during Mass. Mm-hmm. This is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And exactly. I said, Jesus, you got to be real. I got to see you. And, mm-hmm. you know, by the way, everything seems okay with the car.
Good.
But it's like, wow. You know, like I had to see the Lord by faith, and it came to me during Mass. He's bigger than this. Mm-hmm. I know I got to get the car taken care of maybe, but Lord, you're bigger than this. But these distractions, they blindside me all the time. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes my problems become more real than the Lord, you know, and unless we find a way to change that. And the real way it happens is through grace. You know, intellectually we could do it. That's why I try to write to help people understand. Here's some biblical examples. Here's some reflections. I can talk all I want, but until the grace of the Lord opens somebody's heart up, they're not going to really feel how real he is. Mm-hmm. And I see it happen. I go every day. A local church has opened up an adoration chapel, and I am blessed to spend some time every day with the Lord. And sometimes I just say, Lord, I want to believe in you more. I believe in you, but I do believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like you in that monstrance, you know?
Right.
But
right.
I believe the grace really helps. The grace of the sacraments and,
yes.
And prayer is tremendous, a tremendous help for him to become real.
Yeah. So you were talking about Peter and keeping his eyes on Jesus, right? So you must have seen that Chosen episode. That was one of the best that everybody's talking about, that scene where once he drops his eyes, then everything changes for him. And it was it was really, and people get really emotional with that Chosen episode, because it really does apply to how we can take our eyes off of Jesus, how we can say, well, I'm not worthy enough, Lord. You've got more bigger problems. You know, there's people dying in Nigeria. There's people dying in Israel. There's people dying all over the place. And so I'm not really worth it. So I'm going to try to fix this myself. And so we pull away naturally to try and take care of these problems. Do you think that we don't ask for grace enough? I've started to pray about this, Gary, that we don't ask for enough grace.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I've learned to do. Anything, any shortcoming, but I don't have that tendency. My initial tendency is I got to pray harder. I got to do this. I got. How about, Lord, I'm struggling. Look what Peter did. Look at his prayer. Lord, save me. And that's a dog. I mean, this guy's life was in danger.
That's right.
Those three words were answered. Jesus immediately, that's what the Bible says, immediately reached out and grabbed him. Mm-hmm. So that's the important thing for us to remember. Ask for that grace. If you're struggling to believe, if you don't have the desire to pray, well, suppose you're struggling with that. Well, I wish I could care more about my faith. Well, pray for it. I think that's an Ignatian principle. Pray for the desire to have the desire. Pray for everything. And because we try to do it by ourselves. Peter was a fisherman. He knew the Sea of Galilee, but he realized at that point he couldn't do this on his own. He couldn't save himself. And he needed Jesus to save him. And Debbie, I believe that the Lord allows us to get into these situations because he wants us to trust him more. If I wasn't in danger, I might slack off a little bit and be a little lukewarm in my prayers. And the Lord wants me to trust him more, to be bold, to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Not Jesus, I feel the trust. You don't have to feel it, but you need to use that conscious decision.
Exactly.
Right? Say it, Jesus,
say it.
I trust you. I'm scared, Lord. I doubt, but I trust in you.
Do you know, Gary, I have to tell you, and really, you were just mentioning about Eileen's story and what's happened to her last year and everything. And I shared with the Take Two family because I begged for prayers. I needed prayers because I was feeling like I'm not praying enough. Something's wrong. It's overwhelming. I need the prayers from the Take Two family. And they showed up big time. Yeah. And I could feel the prayers. When I was wheeled into surgery and I was almost 85% blind, literally, Gary, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but you and I, we've talked so much about this, about Jesus, I trust in you. And I literally was laying there ready to be prepped for the surgery. And I looked up to the ceiling of the you know, pre-op room. And I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to really believe all these things that I've been teaching for all these years. And I said, I need you. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. This is a mess. I don't know what's going to, you know, and Gary, I'm telling you, I say this with every ounce of my being. I felt like the room was filled with prayer support. I felt the angels. I felt heaven. I felt the Take-Two family. I felt my family, my friends. I felt everybody. I could feel it. And I was like, okay, I'm okay. I just need to just relax. Right. Jesus, I trust in you. And when I came out of surgery, immediately I looked at the nurse and I said, is everything okay? And she said, it's more than okay. And I just, and I just started crying and I thought, Lord, you showed up. But it was so interesting. And I almost felt guilty, Gary. I have to tell you, I almost felt guilty because I was almost like, okay, Lord, I do trust you. But then, you know, I really wanted to go this way or that way. You know what I mean? And I was like, and then I just finally said, okay, Lord, I just have to believe this. I just have to. And I let go. Yeah. It was like a trust fall. And I felt myself just falling into it. And I am so grateful to God. Now, I did have the St. Lucie first class relic with me that went into surgery. So that was an added bonus. But I will tell you that, Gary, I do believe in all of my heart that if folks would just really and truly practice, you like you said, I love what you said, Gary. They don't have to feel it necessarily. But if they just practice saying, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I am faithful. Lord, I will never waver. Lord, I'll keep my eyes on you. I mean, I really believe that the Lord will show up and he will show up with all the angels and saints.
He will. He will. And, you know, and that's a great point. And, you know, by the way, when I saw that on Facebook, I was praying for you. So
thank you.
That's one of the great things about Facebook and social media. Mm-hmm. And when Eileen was going through her stuff, I believed in prayer and people were praying, hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, Debbie, you're right. You don't have to feel it. But faith is it's a conscious decision. It's not a feeling. When the Lord wants you to have a feeling, he'll let you have the feeling. He knows what we need when we need it. And when you were able, as you were going into surgery, to give it all up and say, Lord, I trust you. I place it in your hands. That power of surrender to the Lord, that's powerful. And that's where we can find our peace. Just to say, Lord, I surrender. I'm scared. I have my own opinion. This is the way I want it to be. But look at the way Jesus prayed on the night before he died. Father, if it be your will, you know, take this cup of suffering from me. However, not my will, but your will be done. That's the way we should pray. I always tell people, don't be afraid to ask for your crosses to be lifted. Jesus did. He gave us that example. It's okay. But just make sure you add that in there. Lord, however, your will be done, and believe that he'll give you the grace to deal with whatever cross he allows to remain. I don't like to suffer. I really don't, Debbie. I like smooth sailing
either.
In life, right? But I'm learning to trust Jesus no matter what, because I've seen him come through for me. I just want to say one other thing, because it's been a while, but one other experience I had where I absolutely had a trust, I have twin daughters, Mary and Elizabeth. They're 27 years old. They were given a 10% chance to be born alive.
That's right.
So at that point, when Eileen was pregnant with the girls, you better believe we were praying. Did we always feel it? No way. But man, I got two miracles in my life.
You do.
In
addition, they're beautiful girls. Eileen,
thank you. Thank you. But so many things the Lord has really put me through. I keep telling him, I have enough material, Lord. You don't have to give me more. And then, you know, but I'm accepting it. If I can help people by going through things, I almost don't want the Lord to hear this, but if he needs to put me through things so I can use them to help somebody draw closer to him, well, then go ahead, Lord, use me. But just go easy with me if you can.
You know what, Gary, you are just so perfect for the Take-Two family. What you share has helped so many of the family members over the past 10 years. I've got to say thank you so very much. You have always been there for Take-Two and for all of Catholic Radio. And we need more Gary Zimaks. Why? Because you're walking the walk, talking the talk. You're doing what you're practicing what you're trying to teach all of us. And that is beautiful ministry work in action. So Gary Zimaks, stay with us. We've got another part of the show after this break. We got more announcements, more of your questions when we come back on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're having a great discussion with Gary Zimak, a friend of Take Two's, about his new book that just came out, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. You know, if you want to get the book today, I think it makes a great gift too. Get a couple copies, one for yourself and then one you can give to others, because I will tell you, being a life coach for over 20 years, life is feeling pretty hard and difficult and challenging and stressful and all of the above right now. So this book could really help another soul. Just go to Gary's website. That's probably the easiest way to get this new book, followingthetruth.com. It's followingthetruth.com, and you can pick up Lord Save Me. Before we get back to our wonderful conversation, Gary, let me just do a shout out and congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 10 years with us. KYEJ 90.1 FM serves Fairmont, Minnesota. Congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and everyone at Fairmont Area Catholic Radio from your friends here at EWTN. And Gary, you can appreciate this because you've been on radio a long time, having radio shows and working on radio and being a guest as well. 10 years. Can you imagine how many souls are impacted with the programming there that those listeners in Minnesota are hearing? I just love it.
I did. You know what, Debbie? I spoke in Fairmont. I gave a parish mission there, and I'm pretty sure I met Steve. So that's really, it really hits home. What a great area. Such a great area.
Oh, cool. That's
and
so
I love
cool.
Catholic radio. That's why I'm here. That's why I do what I do. I was lukewarm for so many years, but the power of Catholic radio drew me in. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so grateful to EWTN. I have my image of the EWTN chapel behind me as we're speaking. Because
I
love
it.
So that's why it's such an honor to be here, because without you guys and Catholic radio, mm-hmm. I don't know where I'd be. So the Lord really, really touched me. That's why I'm so passionate about the power of Catholic radio.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love it. Every time I love how Father Thomas Loya of Light of the East, he says, God is sanctifying the airwaves. Don't you love that image? God is sanctifying the airwaves. It's so true, because we hear it all the time, Gary. People turn on the radio. There's probably people listening right now. They're in the car. They're listening on Sirius XM 130. They tripped onto the radio station. They're saying, who is Debbie Giorgiani? Who is Gary Zimek? And we're talking about how hard life is. And they're saying, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me right now. And that's how God is using the airwaves to reach each and every one of his people. And that's a beautiful thing, but we have to cooperate with that. So we do have some questions coming in, because the Take Two family likes to participate. So I'll grab those questions first, and then I'll kind of go back from the rest of the week of those that sent in emails that didn't get their questions answered. And maybe I'll share them with you, Gary, and you can take a stab at it to make sure we can cover it. But a couple things real quickly. The first question that came in is, about, I guess this wonderful listener is already got your book. How long has it been out? Just a couple weeks?
It actually, the release date is Friday the 8th, but I always tell people pre-order because they get shipped out earlier. So from what I can understand, they're already being shipped out, even though it's technically not released yet. So
okay, because somebody has gotten it and they wanted to know about your chapter. Chapter 9, where you said when you are burdened or overwhelmed. Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that chapter there, when you are burdened or overwhelmed? See, I said that earlier, Gary. That's what's really happening. We're hearing from a lot of our listeners of Catholic Radio that they just feel this sense that the world is working against them. The world is hitting their marriages, their finances, their life, their choices, their kids, and they just feel this heaviness. Can you address that?
Yeah, and that's one of the, that is when you feel overwhelmed. And again, I felt every one of these emotions. And in fact, my major reversion or conversion, whatever you want to call it, from lukewarmness to a Catholic who loves his faith and loves Jesus, came when I was overwhelmed and burdened. I couldn't deal with something in my life that was just weighing me down. I realized, as Peter did, struggling to walk on the water, I can't do this myself. I'm burdened. I'm overwhelmed. Help, right? So this chapter was a response or reaching out to anybody who is in that position. Sometimes it happens. Like, okay, now I have a neighbor who's dealing with medical issue after medical issue. He gets one thing fixed and something else goes wrong. And he said to me, Gary, I just can't catch a break. And so many people are in that position. They feel, I'm just overwhelmed. I am burdened. But one of my favorite verses, Jesus tells us, Matthew 11:28, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's an unconditional offer, Debbie. He's not promising he's going to fix everything externally, but he's saying, you come with me, you follow me onto the mountain, down to the valley, wherever I lead, you follow me in the midst of your circumstances. I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you're not going to be giddy and happy all the time, but you're going to feel that sense of peace. So yeah, being, and that's a horrible feeling to feel burdened and overwhelmed. I'm just tired, Lord. I want to give up. Mm-hmm. But that's often when he is really reaching out to you and giving you a chance to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you a try. I tried everything else. Nothing's working. He doesn't care. He just wants you, you know, so he's going to take that. That's a good start.
And he wants all of us, you know, he doesn't want this, you know, I'm partially in with you, Lord, but I'm also, you know, part of the world. I'm going to live my own life, you know, and I'll take you down off the shelf, Lord, on Saturday night or Sunday morning, and then I'll put you back on the shelf the rest of the week. You know, that's not what he wants. He wants all of us, which is so beautiful when you think about it.
And the beautiful, and I absolutely agree with you, Debbie, and that's, I was a Sunday Catholic, you know, as lukewarm as I was in the past, I never didn't go to Mass. I always went to Mass on Sunday, but it was just out of a sense of obligation, figuring that if I don't do this, I could go to hell, so I don't want to take any chances. And then I'd just go live my life and be worried and burdened. But the beautiful thing about the Lord in his mercy, back to that divine mercy, he's patient. He knows that this takes time. You know, and I tell everybody, okay, so you worry sometimes, so you slip up, so you forget about the Lord when things are going well. It's a process. It's right. A process. And the beautiful thing about him, he gently guides us to where we need to be. Even while I was doing full-time ministry, I've been doing this for 13 years. There's times I've slipped up and the Lord needed to say, okay, Gary's starting to forget about me. He's preaching more than he's living it.
Right.
So he sends some situations into my life to kind of gently guide me back and make me remember, oh, I need the Lord.
I need him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're getting listeners that are messaging me and they, you're right, Gary. The folks that pre-ordered, they have not gotten their books yet. So they just reminded me. So they want me to list the titles of each chapter. So if you don't mind. So chapter one is when you feel doubtful or uncertain, when you are afraid, when you feel weak, when you are discouraged, when you feel lonely is number five. Number six is when you are confused, when you are suffering is seven. Chapter seven, eight is when you feel hopeless, when you are burdened or overwhelmed. That's what our dear listener wanted you to address, and you did it so well. And number 10 is when you are in need and feel helpless. One is hopeless, one is helpless, and then you have the conclusion. So, Gary, let me ask you this question. Suffering. Let's go back to suffering and feeling discouraged and feeling weak. This came in from Lydia yesterday. It's not really totally on topic because it was really meant for Father Cedric Pazania yesterday when he was talking about suffering. But I think we could apply it to the discussion that we're having right now. And I want you to address Lydia's really coming from the heart. She really is pouring out her heart to Father Cedric yesterday. But I think, Lydia, I know you listen all the time. So let's hear what Gary has to say. Lydia says this, please ask Father Cedric, so that was from yesterday, about suffering. On mourning our loved ones who have died, when will it not be so painful? I have lost three of my children and my heart just hurts so bad. I know they are in heaven, happy, and I know that I miss them so very much here on earth. I stay busy, I volunteer, I work part-time, I stay motivated to keep going, but there are times I just cry for them. I do pray every day. Is there a special prayer for me to heal? I do have faith, but my heart hurts. And then she thanks, obviously, Father Cedric for all the fine work. He's writing a book on suffering. And so that's what we're talking about. But what would you say to Lydia? Because I read this after the show, and I felt so bad, and I just kind of paraphrased her email a little bit. But I will tell you, I feel bad because, you know, when we've lost loved ones to death, or if they've walked away from us, they've left us maybe through divorce or something of that nature, it is painful when you think about the memories of that person. It is painful to think about that the hole in your heart because they're gone now. What can you say to Lydia and to others that have experienced such great loss, and how do they cope? How do they maintain the joy? How do they keep going, Gary?
You know, the first thing I would say, Debbie, and that is a great question, and I don't want to mess this up. So while you were reading this, I was praying. I was asking the Holy Spirit, and here's what came to mind. The first thing is, when somebody dies or when somebody's out of your life, you miss them. There's a void. There's a hole there, and that's okay. And it's okay to miss them because that shows they were special to you. They meant something to you. Now, the other thing that came to mind when you were saying that is the experience when Lazarus died. And Jesus wept. Why did Jesus wept? Well, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But if you read scripture carefully, Jesus wept because he saw the people grieving. He felt for them. He felt sad for them. So when we cry, I believe Jesus cries with us. He understands it. He doesn't, because of the imperfect nature of this world, you know, this isn't heaven. He chooses because of free will to not necessarily eliminate all evil, all the bad things that man has caused because of original sin, but instead he came into our world to walk through our suffering with us. He went through the greatest suffering imaginable. So we can't say, well, he doesn't know what it's like to suffer. He does. In addition to his crucifixion, he was rejected throughout his life. He knows what suffering is all about. He watched John the Baptist be killed, his friend, his close friend. He saw suffering. He suffered himself. He gets it. He is with us in suffering. I think by faith, we have to believe that those who have died, they're in the hand of a merciful God. God's got them. God cares about them more than we do. And I think that over time, with God's grace, that pain can, you know, it's never going to completely disappear, but it can be turned into a sense of peace. Would you agree with that? You know, you're still going to grieve with somebody, right? You miss them.
Yeah.
They were special, but we have to hope that we'll see them again. And how great is that?
So the memories, you know, especially if they're cherished memories of that loved one, the memories will stay with you. You know, be grateful that you got to experience that, and then maintain the hope for the future. And that's the beauty of it. So you can do both. I think sometimes people don't want to revisit the memories because it makes them so sad they're not going to experience it again. But be grateful you experienced it at all, right? I always think that, like, people say to me all the time, do you feel horrible about thinking back on your 20-year marriage when it ended in a really painful divorce? For a while I did, but now I'm grateful. I'm grateful I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother from it. I'm grateful that I had these experiences. Now, granted, obviously it's changed and I've grown from all of this, but I'm grateful I got to live through it. You know, it reminds me of Bishop Barron. I've said this all the time, Gary. Lately, Bishop Barron has been saying that we should look at life as an adventure. And I like to see it as like this roller coaster ride. You know, you got the ups and downs and twists and turns, but you're experiencing it. You know, you can see a roller coaster from a distance and you can go, wow, that looks exciting. Oh, that looks like something I want to do. But unless you're actually riding a roller coaster, you don't know. You don't know it until you've experienced it. And it's a great feeling if some people can't do it because they have, you know, vertigo or, you know, ear problems and things like that, or they get motion sickness or something of that nature. But if you've gone on roller coaster rides, you know what I'm talking about. Once you go through it, you're like, wow, I did it. I experienced it. Now, you may not want to do it again, but you right? So what do you say to that about this idea of life being an adventure, Gary?
You have to live it. You're absolutely right. And, you know, until you appreciate the lows and go through them, you can't really appreciate the highs. And I'll tell you, one of the times that Jesus has been closest to me, that he has really given me a sense of peace, are those times when I was completely struggling and feeling hopeless and alone. And then I turned to him. And over time, my relationship with him has grown. And I'm big on revisiting memories of the past. I think of my mom and my dad, both of who are deceased now. I don't miss them. But boy, we had some good times. And I sometimes just relive those memories. And I thank God for them every day. They taught me about Jesus. They took me to church. We had fun together. And I can't wait to see them again. Yes. You know, and there'll be time for it. And that's what it's like to walk by faith and not by sight.
Oh, beautifully said. My dear friend Tully just weighed in. She said, wow, awesome show today. Getting the book on Kindle. Thanks, y'all. Love you. So there you go, Gary. They're going to get the book. Awesome. So thank you for that. Okay, so text messaging is coming in. Our Take Two family loves texting, so that's wonderful. Here's the first one. How would Gary pray when you feel attacked at work?
Ooh. And I do address that in the book. I do a chapter on loneliness, and that's one of the things I discuss, like when people criticize you for your faith. And yes, sometimes I feel alone. I feel alone a lot. That's why it's great speaking with you and knowing that people who are listening agree with me. I know what that's like to be criticized. I'll tell you what, this is how I would pray. Why don't we pray for somebody who's, would you mind, Deb?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just a brief prayer. This is how I would pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I know you're with me right now, but I don't feel you. I feel alone. Nobody seems to think the way I do. I get criticized. I get laughed at. I get mocked. I feel that it's just me all by myself in the workplace. In my neighborhood, even in church sometimes, people think I'm maybe too fanatical. Lord, I know you're with me. Please use me as your instrument. Please let me be you. Let me be your hands and feet in the workplace. People need to know you, Lord. They need to believe in you. I need to be a light shining in the world. Please grant me patience. Give me the desire to cooperate with the grace that you give me so that with the help of that grace and my actions, we can draw others closer to you. Lord, I ask this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. I love the way you pray because it's a beautiful relationship and conversation with God. Yeah. You know, I think that people that can pray well, I think it's a wonderful gift that God has given them. Oh. But I will tell you, when I hear it come from the heart, like what you just did, and my co-host Adam Bly from the Spirit World, he prays the same way. It comes to, it's like he's talking to God and no one else is around. It's beautiful. Yeah. When I hear him pray. And so I love that, Gary. That really shows your heart and your soul. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. By the way, I didn't always pray like that. And you know, it's funny, Debbie, I do talk to the Lord in very familiar terms. Eileen and I pray together in the mornings. We did something we started a few years ago. Some of the crazy things I say to the Lord, you know, I have a sense of humor. Eileen does too. We laugh at each other. But we're very comfortable with him. You know, I want to be as comfortable as Martha was.
Yes.
When she said, hey, Lord, my sister, she's doing nothing.
Right.
Want to help me. Right.
Right.
God bless Martha. She was so comfortable. But I'm also being led into more formal Catholic prayer. Some of our great prayers. Spontaneously praying like that has led me into really appreciating the Our Father and some of the great prayers that the church gives us. So, yeah. But it's coming from the heart. You know, I used to pray those prayers just in word only, you know, going through the motions. But now being able to have a spontaneous and personal relationship with all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I talk to them all, has helped me to really appreciate the more formal prayers as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, we're going to get back to a few more text questions that have come in for you, Gary, but I want to just share with our listeners, the doctor is in this afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Ray Guarendi takes calls and talks about family, marriage, and relationships, and he does it so well. Everybody trusts him, everybody loves him, and he does a really fine job for us, and we appreciate Dr. Ray very, very much. In fact, I'm trying to get him back on Take Two, so somebody pray that he answers my text message that I sent him this morning. Okay. So here's the next question for you, Gary. When I feel, this came in via text, when I feel hopeless, sadness overcomes and it's hard to shake it off. Please, Gary, suggest ways to alleviate the pain.
That's absolutely true because, Debbie, we feel according to the way we think. So if I think hopeless thoughts, if I think negatively, if I think, oh, my gosh, this is a disaster, that's how I'm going to feel. So what I do, I have to force myself to do this because I have that tendency. And you know what? You can even do that in your prayer sometimes. Oh, Lord, please don't let this be cancer because if it's cancer, then I'm going to have to get an operation. And what if it doesn't work? You know, we got to be careful with the way we even pray because sometimes we use too many words and get ourselves all spun up. But when I start to get like that, when my mind starts going negative, I open up the Bible and I look especially at what Jesus did. I love the miracles in the New Testament. I mean, here is a guy who raised somebody from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He himself rose from the dead. He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This right. guy can do good things. So by looking at scripture, by looking at some good spiritual books, you get yourself out of your own negative thinking, you know, and that mm-hmm. you got to break that pattern. That's what I do. That's why I start the day by spiritual reading every day. That's how I start my day, because otherwise, worst case scenarios, I'm going to come up with them.
Mm-hmm. Gary, I have to tell you, I could talk to you forever. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm just going to do it because I think we're friends enough.
I'm nervous, Debbie. I'm scared.
If I'm ever dying, I need you to call the hospital and talk to me. Will you?
I would love to do it, but please do me a favor. Don't die anytime soon.
Okay. But Gary, it's so true what you're saying. And I think that we need to have discussions like this, real, raw, yeah. honest discussions like this so that we can help others because people are struggling. Gary, what do you think about this idea about being very, you talked about prayer, being very specific with God? I know that some people just kind of throw this blanket general prayer up to God, you know, help me. Yep. Yeah. And that's yeah. good. And that's wonderful if that's all you can muster up. But what do you feel about being specific with God?
I think that's a very good question. And here's what I think, and I've wrestled with that question. If we are too specific, sometimes we box God into a corner. That's one thing. You know, this is what I need, Lord. This is how I need to answer my problem. However, I think there are times when God wants us to be specific so he can give us the miracle that we need. And then we can say, oh my gosh, how did he pull this off? So I think it's tricky. And I am, I'm at the point where I like to pray like Jesus did.
Right.
On the night before he died. You know, Lord, here's what I'd like. This is what I think is good for me. I know you can do this. I know all things are possible to you. Then I'll mention the attention. However, I'm going to trust you. You know what's best. So I think, would you agree? It's kind of like a fine line you have to walk.
It's a fine line. Yeah, it's a balance. But you want to be specific, but then you want to ultimately leave it to the Lord for his will and to be in alignment with his will. So you do want to do, I think it's, and this is my personal opinion now, I think it's important to, like you said, be very familiar with the Lord. I mean, if you were going to ask your spouse for something, you wouldn't say, oh, just get me anything, you know, whatever you want to get me for dinner. You'd be like, I want a hamburger, medium well, with no cheese on it. You know what I mean? I mean, you would go on and on and on. And so I think that shows how, see, I got chills when I could feel the Holy Spirit as you were talking, and I could feel the Holy Spirit right now. I think God is longing for that from us.
Yeah.
He wants us to be all in, put all our chips in and really, but then ultimately say, but you know best, Lord, and I will go along with it and I will always stay faithful. It's really cool. Okay. Couple things. We are just, I mean, my my direct message line is just exploding here. A lot of folks are asking, where can I get the book? I knew this was going to happen. So, Gary, when you get that spike in sales, you can thank the Take-Two family. Go to followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. Get Gary's book. Yes, Gary?
Debbie, can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
If anybody, I do a daily email reflection. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I write these every day. They're very easy to read. They're free of charge. If somebody's at the website, followingthetruth.com, sign up for my daily email reflection. I want to help people every day in addition to my books. And I base them off of the daily mass readings. I pray about them and usually one verse stands out and I just send these out. It's really taken off. I started it during COVID and I've managed to write it a reflection every day so that you can sign up at followingthetruth.com. It's really been it's one of those things that I didn't know if it would take off or I'd be able to keep up with it, but it really gets a lot of interest. So I'd be happy I want to walk with you every day.
Right. I was just going to say it's an added blessing because you get to walk with everyone each and every day and you get to actually build your ministry too because you're developing. One of the things I think that when we're in ministry, you have to have a good deep prayer life. You've got to walk the walk, talk the talk, but you also have got to constantly be building the ministry because you don't want to just, you know, step away, write a book and then walk away for a couple years. You want to walk with people so that you can develop, they can develop, you grow together. It's the building up of the body of Christ. I couldn't agree more. I love that. Gary, I'm going to go there right after the show, followingthetruth.com. Forgive me, I have not signed up yet. I'm going to sign up. So
there
you go.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you.
I would love to hear a reflection every single day. That's wonderful. Okay, so folks, this is an amazing book. Great conversation we've had with Gary Zimek. I'm going to, you know, I already asked him to call me if I was ever in a hospital lying there dying. So, and he said yes. So I'm going to ask him this too. Gary, you will come back soon and tell us how the book is doing on Take Two. Would you give us an update?
I would love to. Anytime, Debbie. It's always a pleasure being on with you. I really mean that.
Thank you so much. Gary Zimek, you are awesome. The book is Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. You can pick it up at followingthetruth.com. And tomorrow's guest is Father Doug Brown from the Diocese of Cleveland. He's another fan favorite, and he's going to be discussing recurring sins. Oh, that's going to be another great topic tomorrow. We're live again tomorrow, getting your texts and your chats and your emails. Thanks to the show team. Rich and Michael did such a fine job. We love the Take Two family. Thanks to all the affiliates that carry Take Two. You are doing such a great service for your listeners. Thank you. God bless all of you, and we'll see you tomorrow.